And thank you, Kent, and McCombs, McCleary's, and everybody in front and behind things this morning. We so appreciate you all. Please turn to the book of Judges or to chapter 8 in the story. And as you're turning there, I want to dismiss our children through second grade to Children's Church. So if you are of that age group, you're welcome to go to Children's Church. And if you're a little bit older kid, then you have some Listeners Club questions. And I think you've gotten them from Aaron Habecker. If you haven't, let us know. And their goal is to learn to listen like we adults. So anyways, we're excited about what our kids are doing. Now next week, Anna Hilbersma is going to be here, and I'm looking forward to her ministry. Anna is headed the way that the McCombses are. So she's filling out paperwork and all of that in terms of becoming an international worker. Now, I'm not going to say this next week. This will be her first time speaking in a church. Now, she's done a lot of teaching and all of that. She's going to talk about the life of Ruth and what excites. She's a writer. I had her as a student when I was teaching it. I do an online course at Toccoa Falls, I just thought, I'm going to be hearing from this young lady. Found out she's in Mechanicsburg now, and she told me when I asked her to speak on the life of Ruth, she said, I took a course at the end of my studies about storytelling, and she said, I'll be able to put it into practice. I thought, wow. And did I mention this would be her first time speaking in a church? So I think it's a great opportunity, and so be praying for her, invite others. We'll look forward to her ministry. Now here's something else about this week. So I did a little bit of, I listened to a lecture about Pennsylvania Dutch, Mennonites, and all of this, Lancaster County, and all that led up to this, is led up to where we are now, just trying to learn. And what I learned was that a lot of the folks that came to this area came because they wanted to study the Bible. And they were persecuted for their faith because they wanted to. These were farmers. These were not clergy. These were everyday common people that just loved to study the Bible. And that's what brought them here. And so when I thought about the story and how God is speaking through the story, the one true story of the whole world, which, of course, is the Bible. I thought maybe that's why God is blessing this and why there's such an interest in it. And so I just want to thank the Lord, and I want to pray together as we begin. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful that you came to earth many years ago, that you gave your life so that we could know the Father. And we're so grateful that under the inspiration of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that you left us this wonderful book that has kept your people going for centuries. Thank you, Lord, for the strength that you gave to the McCombs and are giving to them through the trials that they have experienced. And others of us, Lord, through life, through thick and thin, and in every place in the world, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for how it points us to Jesus. And so, Lord, we give thanks for him today. We give thanks for Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we ask that you to speak to us once again. Deepen our thirst for you. Lord, may we know you better because we have gathered together. We pray for those who are not with us for one reason or another. Lord, would you also minister to them today? Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Thanksgiving is a wonderful time, a time to celebrate. But it's also a time of great pain and of suffering. Time when we think about the losses that we have. Many of you know that my mother passed away this summer. And so I'm thinking about her loss and what will not be there this year because she's not around. And you have losses in your life, maybe this year, maybe in past years, a loss that just has gone on for maybe for decades. Maybe a loss of a relationship with someone who is still around. Maybe just a loss of a quote-unquote normal Thanksgiving, whatever that might look like, or other kinds of losses in your life. And the story can help us in times of loss. And so we know that it all began with everything perfect, but we messed things up. And then the Lord said, I'm going to deliver you through one family, a man by the name of Abraham and his descendants, who will be great like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. And then the Lord expressed that deliverance through a man named Joseph when his people were in a time of famine in Egypt and in the surrounding area, and then through Moses, who led them across the sea into the promised land. And then he taught them how to live and taught us how to live through the Ten Commandments, though the first generation failed, and then they entered the promised land under Joshua, a place where they were to display, and we as God's people were to display His glory. But when they got to the promised land, life wasn't perfect. While Joshua's generation was faithful to the Lord, the next generation lived like they wanted to live. They didn't follow the Lord. They didn't follow the Ten Commandments. And God, in His grace, gave them a few good men and a few good women. To point them back to them to Himself. The truth of the matter was that everything started to spiral downward and downward and downward. And we see that throughout the book and the story of Judges. But God, in His grace, through these very imperfect men and women, gave them hope in a time of great turmoil. Well, we have seen in recent years a downward spiral in our society and in our world. It just seems like it just keeps going down and down and down. And we see the effects in our lives, in our homes, in our society, in our world, even in our church and in our churches. But it's grace that gives us hope, the grace that we know in and through our Lord. You see, we see in the book of Judges, in this chapter 8 of the story, that God uses very unlikely people like Deborah. Deborah was one of the early judges, and she was a strong woman in a man's world. Somehow it's the men that always get into the squabbles in this world. Now, we could talk for a very long time about why that is. Why is it the guys that are fighting? Well, the men, large groups of men were fighting again in those days. And Deborah had a calling from the Lord. She went to the leader of the army and she said, hey, it's time for you to attack. And he said, I'm not going without you. And the Lord said, Deborah, tell him that you'll go with him, but a woman's going to get the credit. And sure enough, they went up against the enemy. And not only Deborah got the credit, but another no-name lady got the credit who literally nailed the enemy to the ground. But in between, it was God who fought for them, just like He had promised Joshua that He would do, the last generation. The Lord fought for them, and even now with a scaredy-cat general and a very unlikely couple of women, the Lord fought for them. And so the Lord fights for us. He fights through unlikely people. Sometimes through men, sometimes through women, sometimes through older people and younger people. Isn't it interesting? We at our community group last night, somebody started mentioning all of the kind of the nobodies that God worked through. And we're going to soon talk about David, kind of the runt of the litter. But Mary and Joseph and Samuel and one after another, after another, after another. Joseph. I mean, people that were nobodies, but God works in such a way so that only He gets the credit. Doesn't matter whether we're rich or famous. Not many of us that are rich or famous among us. God likes using little nobodies. He likes using the anybodies. Doesn't matter if we got great education or no education or somewhere in between. Whether we got a lot of money or nothing at all or somewhere in between like most of us. God likes using unlikely people so that only He gets the credit. And in fact, God uses weak people. We see that in the life of Gideon. So Gideon was from a nobody family. He was in a nobody tribe, and he was hiding out from the enemy, another enemy that had arisen in his day. And the Lord came to him and said, "You mighty warrior." And he said, "Me?" He said, I'm hiding. And when the Lord finally convinced him to go out and to lead the troops, the Lord reduced his troops in a very creative way from 300,000, that's a pretty good size army, to 300. And 300 of them are going against the enemy. And through banging pots and pans and blowing trumpets, God did something unusual again. God routed the army and God fought for Gideon and for God's people once again, a nobody from Nowheresville that had nothing to offer on his own. God used a nobody once again. Why? So that only God got the credit once again. Maybe you feel like a nobody. You know, are we a bunch of big shots? I don't think there's too many big shots among us this morning. You know, we're just everyday people in an ordinary place in an extraordinary pandemic. In an unusual time, but I mean, we don't have a whole lot to offer. We're really weak, and you know, we have elections, and we try and grab control, but there's not a whole lot that we can do to alter our circumstances. You know, we probably got, most of us, ordinary jobs, or ordinary retirements, or ordinary families. I mean, of course, we have the most beautiful grandchildren or children in the world, or nieces or nephews. But, you know, I mean, we're not on the front page of the paper, and it's probably a good thing most days of the week. But, you know, the Lord is strong when we are weak. That's the way that the apostle put it. When we are weak, He is strong. And God uses unlikely people. God uses weak people like Gideon and like us. And the wonderful thing is that God even uses the undeserving. Like Samson. Now we think of Samson because of his long hair. But I mean, Samson was at the end of the spiral that went down and down and down. And Samson's parents, like it seems an unusual number of families in Scripture who were used by God, was childless. They were childless and crying out to the Lord, and the Lord heard their prayers. And then the Lord said, "Hey, we know that you are being bothered by all of these enemies around you. Your son will deliver God's people." And they said, "Oh, good, thank you, Lord. We can't wait for this." And then their son is born, and their son is a rascal. The Lord gives him superhuman strength. The Lord fills him The Bible says, with his spirit, he does amazing things. But he had other interests. He liked the ladies. And so he went after this one and that one. And these weren't like nice little girls in Israel. These were ladies from other places and who had nightly occupations, some of them. And he was willing to give away the store in order to get what he wanted. But at the very end of his life, the one time in his life when he truly cried out to the Lord was gracious to him once again, gave him what he didn't deserve. And on the last day of his life, he said, God, would you strengthen me one more time? And he was in that pagan temple, surrounded by thousands of Philistines, one of the last enemies that David would one day defeat. They were surrounding him. They were laughing at him. They were making fun of him from up on the balconies. He said, Lord, strengthen me one more time. And he pushes out the pillars, and the whole building comes piling in. And the scriptures say that he defeated more in that day, though he lost his own life, than he had in his entire lifetime. He's become one of the great heroes of the faith, along with a bunch of these folks. They're listed in the hallmark of fame in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11. Do they deserve it? Nope. Neither do we. It's all from grace. Grace means that we get what we don't deserve. The Lord promised grace way back at the beginning of the story. He said, I'm sending a deliverer, someone that will rescue you from this mess that you've got in at the beginning of time. And of course, Jesus came and gave his life for us that we might extend it to others. Jesus talked about the parable. He gave the parable of the vineyard. So there was a man who had a vineyard, time to harvest. And so he put out the word. He wanted some guys to come in and harvest the grapes. And some of them showed up at 8 o'clock. And they went to work, and they worked all day long. And then some of them showed up at 11. And they worked about two-thirds of the day long. And then some of them showed up at 2 o'clock. And they worked maybe a third, maybe a quarter of the day long. They just put in all they could for the rest of the day. And at the end of the day, the owner came in and he said, okay, here's your paychecks. Gave it to the guys that came in at 8. Gave it to the ones that came in at 11. Gave it to the ones that came in at 2. And they compared their paychecks as employees do sometimes. And they said, what's with this? We all got the same thing. He said, what's it to you? He said, I decide who gets what in my vineyard. I'm giving him everyone the same. And Jesus said, in my kingdom, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. That's what grace is. We all get what we don't deserve. When I think about my mom, her empty place at the table this season, what gives me hope is grace. Now, my mother was a wonderful woman. I don't think she ever did anything wrong. I don't know. I'm sure she did. But I know she did. And the thing that gives me hope from the beginning of the story to the end of the story is the grace of God. She was a sinner, just like I am. She did not deserve forgiveness. But the grace of God in Jesus meant that she was forgiven. which means that she is now at the end of the story where everything is like it was supposed to be and better when Jesus comes back, and there will be no more suffering and no more pain and no more disease and no more death and no more sorrow. All will be wonderful and joyful in the presence of Jesus, and that's what gives me hope. And that's what can give us all hope. It's the grace of God that we get what we don't deserve, whether we are unlikely, whether we are weak, whether we are undeserving. That's what gives us hope and gives us a hope to share with others. At my mother's funeral, my mother's a very quiet woman. There are stories told of how she'd loved the little girl next door for a good year when this little girl's brother had died and the parents were pretty much incapacitated. I didn't even know that. 30 years later, I found out. I knew that she loved a young man who'd been troubled, who I remember being at our dining room table day after day after day, and she just listened and loved him and gave him grace. And the Lord calls us to give grace to others as we have received it. People that may or may not be at our Thanksgiving tables, that might be in our community, might be in our world, people that don't deserve it. That's what grace is. We extend the same grace to others as have been extended to us. People that are weak, may have nothing to give to us. Sometimes the most gracious thing that we can do is to love people that have nothing to give back, and better yet, when nobody knows but us and the Lord. People that are unlikely to be loved, unlikely to be cared for. Maybe they're just somebody that nobody else would think of. But because God has thought of us in Christ and has loved us in Christ, we reach out to them and we extend the same grace that has been extended to us. I urge you this Thanksgiving, with thanks, to embrace this incredible story that we're part of, the one true story of the whole world. Receive and bask in this grace of Christ, a grace that is extended to us, grace and mercy that is ours in needy times, the writer of Hebrews tells us about. Let's receive his grace and then give it away, this grace and mercy for others in our world today. Let's pray together. Our Lord, we are so grateful for all that we have in Christ. We come to you this morning in Jesus' name, because Jesus paid our penalty. And Jesus has opened the doorway into your throne room. And Jesus has made it possible that we can receive all of the blessings, both now and forever, of knowing you. And of living with you, and of living life together as your grace-filled people. Lord, may we be gracious with each other. May we be gracious with a world in need. We pray for our brothers and sisters serving you in other places, Lord. Some among us today, Lord, may they know your grace in extending it to others. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Would you stand with me as we stand? We're closing hymn now. Thank we all our God. Wait a minute, we should have words. There we go. All right. Now with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us, with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, and keep us in his grace, and guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills in this world and the next. All praise and thanks to God through all our life be near us. The Son and Him who reigns with them in highest heaven, the one eternal God, whom earth and heaven adore. For thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore.
So I want to encourage you, a couple of things. Look at our children's wing. In a couple of weeks, I think we're going to have a dedication. Yes, Autumn, our children's director, busy in the hospitals, is thumbs up on that one, so we're looking forward to that. We're very grateful to God for what that's done. And then tonight, there's an event. Now, it's sponsored by our youth ministries from three churches, but it's for everybody. I say, and it's for everybody. So there's a film, Michael W. Smith film for teenagers and up, and then there's a VeggieTales for younger ones, hot dogs outside, and then we'll look at the movie inside in the gym. You're welcome to come, invite people, and would love to see you here if you are free. So Psalm 100 says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. His love endures, how long?
Forever.
It didn't stop last February. It endures forever and ever and ever. And his faithfulness continues through all generations. Let's praise him and let's give thanks to him this season. Amen.